Välkommen till podden Från arbetsrum till segladröm med Jörgen
och Marie Kandevik. En podd om hur vi lämnade ekorrhjulet och lever vår dröm.
Hej och välkomna till ett specialavsnitt av podden Från arbetsrum till segladröm. Idag ska vi köra det på engelska, för vi har två gäster med oss på båten idag. So, let's switch to English. And Marie,
you want to
give our guests a welcome?
We are so glad to say welcome to Pam and Angie. You're living here in Privesa Marina, so as we do, and it's happy to have you in this podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. Really glad to be here.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Should I start?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Angie. I'm 35 years old and I'm from Switzerland. Yeah. And just recently moved onto a sailboat.
Yes, with me.
Yeah.
And I'm Pam, but that's just my nickname. And I'm 34 years old and I'm from the southern part of Germany and I moved onto a sailboat with Angie, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, just started our adventure.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, as you said, you're living on the sailboats, as we do. But how was your life before doing this?
Different.
and what led you here?
Well, I think it was kind of adventurous since we met. Because before that, well, I used to have a quite ordinary life, like did my school and my training, and then I started working and I had different flats in different areas of the same city. But then I met Angie and everything changed from that.
Yeah,
because she's like in German or in Swiss German, you say Reisefütli, which means she's always on the move. She's
okay.
Kind of a traveler and explorer and so. And I used to travel as well. But when Angie came into my life, everything went even higher.
So
there was no limits in traveling. Yeah, so,
yeah, I think we found each other with this topic,
with
the travel topic.
Yes, right. Yeah. But then when we met, I think it was... We traveled a lot, we explored a lot.
But I'd say the first year was quite ordinary, maybe the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we decided we lived in Stuttgart.
To save up money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We lived in Stuttgart at that time.
Yeah.
That's where we met.
And this is how long ago?
Nine years ago?
Yes.
Well, it's quite a long time.
So we left Stuttgart end of 2016.
Right.
Yeah, we saved up a lot of money and we decided to leave Stuttgart and sell everything, quit our flat, and we ended up having two backpacks. And with that, we started traveling.
Wow.
To Australia and Southeast Asia and so on.
Without a real goal.
Yeah.
Well, no, not a goal, but without a real place to go back to.
Yeah.
And we said we just see where it takes us,
where
we want to live, and I don't know, somehow we ended up in Switzerland, in my hometown.
Again?
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Yeah.
So we spent a few years there.
And tried to live an ordinary life again.
Yes.
Didn't work out so well, I think.
Yeah.
No, because you had been away for a couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years. Yeah.
2 years,
yes.
Yeah.
And then we tried to... Sometimes it sounds strange, but we try to fit in the community and the normal lifestyle.
Yeah,
the normal. We used to call it the 9-to-5 lifestyle.
Yes, right.
Yes,
but we after a while we saw that
it's not for us.
No, to be honest, because we it's not that we get bored after a while, but I think after, like I said, after you have some routines and you live your life after these routines, and after a while it's just that routines, and there's nothing below or above that. So you haven't had these highs and lows. So that's why we thought we'd just give it another try and
do something different.
Yeah, to do something different, right? Yeah.
In Sweden, we and in our pod name, we call it the squirrel wheel. Like
squirrel,
just running the wheel.
Yes.
And everything is more or less the same from one day to another.
Yeah.
And it's Monday, and suddenly it's Friday, and you don't know where the time goes. It's Christmas, and suddenly it's midsummer, and
Exactly. For us, that always felt very stressful somehow.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be more present, I think, and just
Well,
I think we always did, since we know each other, we always did what we just felt like. We had a dream and we had a wish and we just...
We just did it.
I don't know.
At least we tried.
Yeah.
And after a while, if we saw, maybe that wasn't a good idea, then we'd do something else. But at least we try. And that's, I think that's our life motto, if you say so, that we try everything we want to. And when we are maybe old and so we can look back onto our life and say, at least we tried and we did it.
Yes.
So we can't regret the things we didn't do. So that's our kind of motto. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say
it's quite interesting because we said it's almost the same for us.
Yeah.
Because we want to say we don't want to get old and then find out that we didn't do what we wanted to do. We want to try to do it. Then we don't know if it's going to succeed. But but we have to try.
Yes,
we want to remember the things we did and not what we didn't do.
Yes.
And I think that's a nice way of living your life. What did you try after that, Sandy? Trying to be normal.
After trying to be normal. Well, work-wise, I started quite ordinary, I'd say. And then I tried many different things. And then at one point when we were traveling, I started my own business.
It started as a blog.
It started as a blog, and it kind of evolved through different steps. And now I'm a holistic health coach.
Yes.
And it's a great thing because I can live my passion. I can talk about what interests me, and I can do it while I'm traveling the world.
Fantastic.
So it's a good job to take with me. So that's quite good.
And did you travel, did you study during your travel, or did you study before you left, or?
I, for this particular, for the holistic health coach, I studied when we came back after our travels.
Okay.
So I started to have a blog in this type of thing. I did lots of Instagram.
Yeah.
I had a food blog at a certain point, did recipes, and then I started this... How do you call it? This school that took about 2 years for this holistic health
training.
Life is full of crossroads, a constant world of choice. You can choose to bother.
And then you ended up in a camper van, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, we bought during COVID. I think it was beginning of 2020.
Yes.
We decided, because we just came back from a from all inclusive week, right, in Egypt.
Yes.
It was really strange because Angie did a on Instagram, she...
like a giveaway
It was a
type.
Kind of,
I entered and I won.
Yes.
Okay.
They contacted her. Yeah, you won a week in Egypt, all inclusive. And we're like, wow. Okay, because we're not the all inclusive tourists at all.
No.
But we said, we can give it a try. So we went for a week in an all inclusive hotel in Egypt. And it was really weird and really strange. After that week, we said, okay, that's why we're not the all-inclusive types. So, but we came back from this, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And we said we wanted to travel at least a bit, maybe just in Switzerland. But then the hotels and restaurants and everything got closed after the other, one after the other. And so we said we really like the van life we had in Australia. So because when we've been to Australia, we bought a camper van, a small one, and traveled Australia. So we really like the idea of van life. So we bought our own one in Switzerland and traveled. Yeah, I think in 2020 we almost traveled whole of Switzerland. Well, yes, of course, certain parts, but we saw in general, we saw the whole country. It was really nice. And then, yeah, from there it took off. Then we started to go down south to Sardinia, and we went to the Canary Islands in 2022.
Okay, with the camper van.
With the camper van, we're on a ferry. There's a ferry from the southern part of Spain, which takes you to the Canary Islands, and it takes you about
2 days.
2 days on a ferry, which was also a really nice adventure to be on. So we drove all over Europe.
And this was during COVID.
Yeah, well, it started during COVID, but I think in end of 2021, 22, there wasn't that much of a lockdown in Europe anymore. Oh. So we traveled to the safe places, say. Yes, right.
Yeah, so we really, during COVID, we looked where is a good place to go, which seems quite safe.
Yes.
So at that point, it was Sardinia.
Yeah.
So we went to Sardinia and it was amazing. I think we were the only people on Sardinia.
On the island, with the camper van, so it was really good. So.
That's quite safe.
Yes, right. You didn't get in contact with any other people, so it was really, really safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I think,
And we liked that lifestyle, so...
Right. Until we found out about sailing.
Then
and then
somehow
everything's changed again.
Somehow you get in contact with sailing.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
What was that, on the Canaries? Or?
No, there was... I used to sail since I was, I think, 5, 6, 7 or so. But just inshore on lakes with my father. And then I kind of quit sailing for a while. Never did it over 10 years, I think. And then friends of us, they invited us to a sailing week in Greece in June 2022, right?
Yes.
Right. And we just said, yeah, sure, we'll come along and have a look.
Yeah,
and then after this week, we were like, yeah, let's buy a sailboat. That's great.
You also, Angie, you also got in love.
Yes, I was hooked immediately. Pam said before already when we had the camper van that he could imagine himself living on a sailboat maybe at some point. And I said, yeah, well, I never sailed, but... I like water, so maybe I could imagine myself But let's stick to the camper van for now. And then, that week came along and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you decided, let's buy a boat.
Yes, right. Yeah. Because at that point, we just bought our flat.
Okay.
And we had a camper van and a car and, of course, everything in the flat. So after this week, we decided to sell everything again. And we were kind of quick, right?
It took us about a year, to sell everything and move out of the flat. It took us 3 months.
Yeah.
And then we lived in the camper van for the next half a year at least.
Yeah.
And during the whole period, we did our inshore license first, and then we studied for the offshore one, and then we took the test. And in Switzerland, you also have to do a practical
mileage.
Examination. Well, you have to just get 1,000 sea miles or nautical miles.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that took us maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and we were able to find a skipper. And we could join him on his boat, and
On the Bay of Biscay.
Yes, on the Bay of Biscay.
The best place to learn sailing. Really, yeah.
Why not go to the worst place?
Yes,
right away?
Yes, right. I know.
It's really crazy.
Because yeah. When he said, "Yeah, I'm in the northern France, Normandy, and Bay of Biscay," we were like,
"Sure,
yeah, sure, we can do that." And I have a 100-year-old wooden boat, and we're like, "Yeah, of course, no problem at all." Yeah,
I maybe was a bit naive.
Yeah,
I didn't really expect it. Like, I knew you have like what it involves in that area with the tides and everything, and
the
also
waves,
the Bay of Biscay. Yeah. I heard a lot about it, but I think I didn't think too much about it, which was probably good, because if I would have thought a lot about it, I think, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have.
Yeah. Maybe you trusted this guy you met.
Yes,
also,
yes.
We felt
he has,
safe.
But it was funny, because we talked to a lot of other people in Switzerland who did their offshore license, and they said, I now have 300 miles, and the other one said, since the last 3 years, I sailed a lot, and I gained 700 miles.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my goodness, it will take us the whole life to get these 1,000 sea miles. And then after 4 or 5 weeks, we had our 1,000 sea miles, and we were like, yeah, we can do that. So that was pretty cool, actually. So to gain 1,000 sea miles in 4 or 5 weeks, it was
a lot of work,
but we did it.
Yeah, just to understand how long that is, when we left Gothenburg and went down here, that was about 3,000 sea miles.
Yes.
So it's a third of the way from Sweden to here, and that's quite a lot of sea miles.
Yeah, yeah, we did that in 6 months.
Yeah,
and
something like
that. It's 3,000 sea miles.
Yeah,
and
you did a lot as well.
Yeah, but you did one third of it on a 1 month.
Yeah,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah. Because we said we don't have the time to stick around. We need to do it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And we talked to the skipper, and we said, we need to have the 1,000 sea miles by August. And he was like, okay, let's get on. So we did it. Yeah.
That's wow. Yeah. Yeah, and then you started to search for a boat.
Right.
Well, we actually bought the boat before.
Before?
we got the nautical miles. So we knew we could, we did the contract in May. Yeah. And we knew we can pick her up end of September, beginning of October. So we had this window, and we said, okay, we have these months now, and we want to do the nautical miles. So we're allowed to sail.
Yes.
Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to sail our own boat, which is not that much fun.
Yeah, you would just stick in the marina, that's it, right?
And you pick up some in the marina who has please drive our boat now?
Yes, right. So that's why we thought it's good
so
to
have. So
that
was our goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where did you pick up the boat?
In Volos.
Volos.
In Greece.
Which is, Greece, which is a bit north of Athens.
Yeah.
Close to the northern Sporade, it's called, the island.
Yeah.
The Mamma Mia Skopelos.
Yes, right.
Exactly.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mamma Mia Islands. Yeah, we didn't know that, but when we've been there the first time.
To look at the boat.
A lot of people on the ferry, they asked us, are you here for the Mamma Mia locations? And then we're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you know that the movie Mamma Mia is filmed on these islands. And we're like, we didn't know that. No,
we're here to buy a boat.
Yes, right. But then we drove around the island, and everywhere it's advertised. This is a location where Mamma Mia was filmed, and this was the beach where they kissed or something.
Yeah.
Else. It's like, oh, wow. Yeah, but it's funny.
Yeah.
It's a very nice area, though.
It is,
it
is.
And
it
was a nice sail
from
there to here. How many nautical miles did we do?
Another
3, 4? No, I think.
Yeah, 300.
Almost 500, I think. Or 500.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we took it down to Athens.
Yeah.
and then through the Corinth canal.
Corinth Canal, yes.
And then the Bay of Corinth to Patra. And then we worked our way up from Patra to Mesolongi and Sami, and then on the east coast of Lefkada, we got to Preveza. Yeah,
we are now. You must have stuck in destruction.
You must have stuck in pain.
But how was the feeling when you left the harbor, when you just bought your boat and you're just starting on your new life?
Special, but also I think weird.
Yeah.
And this guy we learned with in France, he actually said he would join us on our first week sailing and help us with the boat. So he was with us. And so I think we didn't feel that overwhelmed. So it was very good that he helped us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had another friend joining us the week after.
Who's also a sailor.
Okay.
He has a sailboat in Sweden, actually. He's half Swedish.
Yeah.
Ah,
okay.
He's been sailing there a lot.
He has also
Helga Rasi.
Yes.
Yes, right. So,
nice boats.
Yeah. He's so in love with her. Yeah. Yeah. It felt special, but also because we were in this kind of sailing routine and we were all really prepared for that. So it was just to go and to leave the harbor, it was just really a good feeling to be at your own boat and you're the skipper. And it was just, it was great.
And
you decide yourself.
Yes,
right.
Because we worked so many days and hours and we put a lot of energy into it, and then suddenly the moment came when we can leave the harbor on your own boat. That was it was really good.
Yeah,
felt really great. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was the Corinth Canal? It's quite big.
Oh, that's amazing. It's actually quite narrow, so it's a little worrying.
Yeah. Very, very high.
Yes, very high. Unbelievably.
And the water's so clear, so you can see the stones on each side or on whichever side you helm.
Yeah.
So you can see the stones and it looks like, am I crashing or not? And you're watching the deep
meter.
Very carefully. But it was a lot of fun.
Stunning.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think it was one of the coolest experiences
so far.
So far, yes.
Yeah. Because you have these massive walls left and right going all the way up. And then you have these little
bridges
where people look, stand over there, you and look down. And it was amazing.
Because it's 30 meters.
How
is it?
It's really high.
Yeah.
So, we took our drone and I tried to film a bit.
Yeah.
And then I just got up from deck, and it looked absolutely stunning when you see the small boat in this huge channel. It was great.
It's almost like a church.
Yes, right.
Water in it.
Yes, right. Yeah.
We hope to.
There must be very much echo in there.
Yeah, at one point, but the other point is like the echo really fades.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but at one point, it's very narrow.
Okay.
And there you can hear your echo, but on the other parts, I think maybe because of the form of the stones or something like that, the echo just fades away. That's funny. Okay. But we looked at the marine traffic app, where you can see which boat is coming through, because they open the canal from one direction to the other, so you can just cross in one direction.
Okay.
And then we saw there's a massive boat coming through, and when we got into the canal in the channel, we thought, oh my goodness, how did this one fit in here? And it went through with almost 7 knots of speed.
Wow.
So it was quite fast
going
through, and we were like between 5 and 6 knots, so because they otherwise they radio and say you need to go faster.
Okay.
So
they have a schedule,
so you need to be, so you need to drive at least five.
I think we did five most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
five knots, otherwise you get...
They were more or less touching the walls then.
Yes, because they were massive, and then they come through this narrow channel. It's like, okay.
Oh.
But they, I think they do it all the time. Right?
Yes.
So they used to it.
We saw a bit of that on the inland waterways of Europe.
Yes.
There was some of the locks there were like, I think they have like 5 centimeters on each side. Those boats that are 100 meters long.
Right. And they manage to do it, right?
Yeah. You can, and they must be very skilled, because the most, how do I say it? If they come a little bit...
It's not so easy to turn.
You just lose your direction and centimeter, then you can get stuck.
Yes, right,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
that was...
Yeah.
So that was one of the highlights so far, I'd say.
I understand. How long is the Corinth Canal?
It took us maybe half an hour.
It's quite
short, actually.
It's
not that long.
But I think it's always worth doing.
It's quite an expensive half an hour, but it's worth it.
I think we will do it.
Next year, maybe. We have some plans on that.
Nice.
Yes, and we have understood you are working from your boats also, both of you. What kind of issues are there around that, working from a boat?
Well, of course, there's the Wi-Fi or internet problem. Because we don't have Starlink yet, we work with a little SIM card, and we have a mobile router where we just put in the SIM card in it. So we always have the connection problems, but it in Greece, to be honest, it wasn't too bad actually. But the issue we came up with is that because I worked from Monday to Thursday, I had a fixed schedule, and when the weather is bad in these 4 days, it's okay for me to work. And because we couldn't move at these days, so we had to be in one place for 4 days at least. But usually it was on these 4 days there was good wind, or it was a nice day outside, and I had to work. And when I got off on Friday, on Saturday and Sunday, there was storm coming in, or there was bad weather or something else. So we had to stay in this particular place for at least another week and hope that it's going to be good when we leave on the next Friday. So that was an issue we thought, that's a shame, to be honest. Because we did this alternative living or alternative life because of the flexibility and the freedom. But when you have a fixed schedule, then you're not really that flexible or that agile to adjust to the weather and everything. So that was sad.
It's stressful at times as well.
Especially if you need to get from one point to another at a certain time.
That's what we thought. So I think we will plan this maybe a bit better this year, hopefully. We have a hotline now up to the sky, so we can just say we need some wind, and then it's good.
So what is your line of business? What do you do?
I work as a copywriter and conceptionist. So I work with agencies, advertising agencies, or clients directly. And I do all their texts, all their concepts, from websites to brochures to social media to even the Google advertisement and everything. So I do all the from A to Z.
Marketing
concerning texts and stuff.
You have customers from all over the world, or is it most Germany?
Mostly Germany, Switzerland, and a bit of Austria. So the German-speaking part of the world.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But you are on your own, or
I'm self-employed.
Self-employed. Yes,
right. And yeah, I can. I'm a freelancer, so anyone could book me if they want to.
Yeah. Yes.
But we said we take the January off to do some boat work and
maybe February as well.
We have lots of boat work. Yes, we have a lot of boat work. That's true. Yeah. So maybe we'll start in March again.
It's strange. See. There's also a lot of always a lot of boat work.
There's always,
we just have no time to work.
it's strange.
Yeah.
But it's good that you're self-employed, then you don't have a boss who gets mad on you.
That's true. But otherwise, there's no income. If you don't work, you don't get any money. So that's the other problem.
Yeah.
So you have to,
find a balance.
Yeah, find a balance between not working and getting money.
Yeah.
And how is it for you, Annie?
It's kind of similar. But I think I'm a bit more flexible because I usually just have my one-on-one coachings and I just talk to my clients maybe once a week.
Yes.
And so the rest of the time I'm just there for questions or I prepare other stuff. But I think my actual time working or my meetings or calls are not a full day.
No.
So even if I have a call in the morning at 10, we could then in the afternoon go somewhere or do something. So I think that's a bit more flexible, but also it's the same with internet and everything. I do everything with video calls. So it's nice if the internet is good.
Yes. And when you do your calls, both of you, how much time do you put in to talk about where you are and how you live with your customers and your clients?
It depends, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you can see or you can feel if the customer or the client is interested in what you do and where you are at the moment. But for example, with my last agency I worked with, they always ask, oh, where are you now? And how does it look with you? And then I put on the video.
Yeah.
And they were all jealous. They were like, ugh, just turn it off again. We don't want to see it because it was raining in Germany and or bad weather. And I was sitting in the sun in the cockpit and having the sea in my back.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful. They were like, ugh. Okay, just turn it off again. We don't mention it. So I think it depends. Yeah.
But do you think it's an upside or a downside to have that to talk about?
Well, for me, it's an upside.
Yeah.
I think so. But and it's always nice to get the conversation started.
Yeah.
To talk about where you are, what you do at the moment, and how is the way of life at this moment. So I think it's always nice to talk and to get this connection to your client or to your customer or something else. So I think it's
a little bit more personal level.
Yes. It's not just the working level, so you always have a thing to talk about apart from work. So that's nice, I'd say. Yeah.
And it's good for your work as well, I think, because if you see loads of different things all the time, like I think we both feel like we're much more creative in how we do our work and how we our ideas, so it helps being somewhere different.
And also I get really calm when I just look at the sea, because in Switzerland sometimes I was stressed by the work or so and I wouldn't find a place where I could calm down. But here is just, even if you sit inside and you work and you come up to the cockpit and just look at the sea, after a few minutes, I'm just totally relaxed. It's everything's life's good.
Life's good. Yeah.
Something special about the sea.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And Andy, how is it? You maybe are talking to your clients in another way that Pam does. So you maybe doesn't, or do you talk where you, about where you are? And
Not that often. I think it's similar as Pam said. If they're interested, I have some clients or had some clients which were really interested in that part. So we talked about this like off the clock a little bit more. But usually I think my calls are much more, they're shorter and it's usually about their problems or their issues. So, but sometimes we talk off clock and a little bit about this.
Cut off your tongue if you say what you mean. In a land where they guard every step that you take.
It's really interesting, your line of business, this holistic health coaching. You're also vegan, both of you.
Yes.
Is that connected in some way?
Yes.
what led you to the choice of being a vegan?
Yes. But it was a long process, I'd say.
Yeah.
I did get in that line of business because I had lots of food intolerances and digestive issues, and then also a little bit of mental problems. All was all connected. And I started to learn more about this. And then at some point I did this holistic health course and learned more about food and nutrition, of course. And that's how we also learned more about what food actually does in your body and what difference you can make if you put different foods in your body. And we started to go vegetarian first and then slowly went into vegan.
At first we were pescatarian, then vegetarian.
Yeah.
And then we, with the vegetarian, we just left out the eggs, for example, and the milk, and but we stick to cheese because it was quite hard in Switzerland to leave out the cheese.
Yeah, you like the cheese so good.
There's so much
Switzerland love cheese.
It's so much good cheese, and so we said that was the last one we skipped, and we said okay, after that we're fully vegan.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of a process, but
step by step.
But I think it was also because of Angie's work and Angie's experience with the food intolerances and so.
It just felt natural somehow for us. It was just a logical step to do.
So what do you think are the biggest benefits being a vegan?
I think, for example, for my body, I have there's a disease called neurodermatitis.
Okay.
This is kind of a dermatitis issue where your skin alters faster than
ages faster than
other
people,
and you get really dry skin around the eyes or behind the ears or in the
elbows
or knee area. And once we got vegetarian, it was better, but it was still there. And when we turned fully vegan, it was almost completely gone. So I have no problems, even in the in the winter month because my doctors always said to me, I need sun and I need salt water because this is good for my skin.
That's a good doctor.
Yes, that's a good doctor. Yeah, so I always went to the sunny and salty part of the world, and it was okay when I've been by the ocean, but during winter in Switzerland it was quite bad sometimes. So now when we turned vegan, it was good.
And you're living in a boat, and it's very sunny and salty.
Yes, right. So I think if we have the best conditions for
your doctor would approve.
Yes, my doctor would approve. Yes, right. So best conditions for my skin. But I think the transformation from carnivore,
everything eater,
from the meat eater to vegetarian, for me, that transformation was
the biggest body wise or feeling wise.
Because I felt a lot fitter. I could focus a lot more on certain things. Mm. My sleep got better. So in every direction, it was better. Well, yeah. I feel better than I felt before.
Yeah.
So yeah,
lovely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not sure if.
I would say probably the same. I also think the transformation from to vegetarian was probably the biggest change. And now to vegan is just an add-on. And yeah.
Yeah. But it's not just... We got vegan not just because of our bodies, but has certain other factors and other reasons why we turned vegan. So I think in general, the vegan...
Lifestyle
is for us the lifestyle we want to live.
Yeah.
Because it's we think we take care of other parts of the life.
Yeah.
And of earth and animals and everything. So so we try to
the whole picture.
So. Yes, yeah. Right, yeah. It's not just the body, because we're just a small part of the big blue planet. So
sure. And how is it to be a vegan here in the Mediterranean compared to Switzerland?
Especially on the boat, it's difficult sometimes. Yes. I feel like everyone's fishing. We're like, no.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I think we get by. We cook a lot ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are some products as well, even though we try to eat fresh anyway. We try not to buy too much processed food, but there is a bit more to choose from in Switzerland, even though Switzerland is definitely not vegan heaven at all. So I think they're quite far behind actually. But it has a bit more choice than
in Switzerland. Yes, I
think so, but we get by. We try to do loads of things ourselves.
Sometimes, of course, it's hard that you can't enjoy the local cuisine, because the local cuisine here in Greece is, of course, something with feta or a lot of cheese or milk or something else.
Or fish.
A lot of fish. Yeah. So sometimes it's sad that we can't have the local food.
Yeah.
But we went to another restaurant here in Prevedza, and they prepared us some vegan moussaka, for example. Mm. So we could try the local food, but in a vegan option. So that was really nice. And I think we get along quite well.
And it's our choice, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I think that makes it easier.
Yes,
and I guess the upsides are much bigger. Than
Right.
Nice. So we were thinking about we are interested in what's the driving force for you in living this alternative life.
What's your why?
I think there's many.
I
think it's a mixture. Like, I would say we're both interested in many different things. So we try to maybe be a sailor one day, and the next day we're being handymans doing boat work, and it's just the difference of it all. So we have like many different things we can do. It never gets boring. It's a lot of adventure, and I think for us, we both really like to travel and see the world and experience new places. And for us, the boat opens up much more, many more places we can go, and we can travel in a more sustainable way as well than if we would just drive with the car or with the camper van. So for us, that was a big plus on why we chose the boat over the camper van.
And after 2 weeks, we get bored at one place.
Yeah.
So we just want to move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a big reason why we chose this life. Because we...
Location independent.
Yeah, location independent or remote life. Because as I said before, we we tried to fit in this ordinary life, but it didn't work for us. So we, I think we just want to live a life where we can travel or see new places and enjoy the way.
And I think one more why is also the challenge for me.
Yeah,
that's what we often talk about.
Right.
Because I think this has been the biggest challenge yet of our lives.
Yes. Yeah.
There's so many new things we have to learn and so many new feelings.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're not safe anymore all the time in your home. And it's, it can be uncomfortable. And just to, have the mental strength to do it. That's I think we're both not 100% there yet. we hope to be at some point. So that's, I see it as a challenge too for the mental part. Definitely.
Yeah, we always say that this is our New York.
Yeah.
Because
if we can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Because from New York, you say if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So we say this is our New York. If we can manage to do the boat life, we can
do anything.
There's no limits.
Yes. Unstoppable.
Yes. So this is boat life is our New York.
Good way of putting it.
Yes. Yeah. Really. What are your plans from now? What are your dreams? What do you dream of? What do you...
Pooh, we have so many dreams. Not really. We try, I think, not to plan too much because we know it's not going to work out anyway.
Nope.
but I think we definitely have the dream to cross the Atlantic at some point, feel that feeling of just being in the ocean somewhere, just us and nothing around.
I think the bigger dream is to live a happy life.
Just a
happy life.
Yeah.
Where you can, when you look back onto your life, you say, it was good.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main the main focus or the main...
Yeah, we made the most of it and we are not stressed and we just try and make the best of it and enjoy it.
Because if we said with the boat life, if it's, we do it as long as it fits us and as long as we have fun and we can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And once we reach a point where we say, no, it's not that one we want to...
Yeah.
And continue, so then we change it and do something else, I think. So just to be happy.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's the most.
So in like three or 5 years from now, do you think you're still sailing?
We really don't know. We have just started in October, so I think we only had a little glimpse of how nice this life can be. And the past few months was more lots of work. So we're really looking forward to the ups again and the really nice bits. Yeah. And then, see how we like it.
Yes, and that's why it's also hard. We can't really say if we like it or not, whether because we just experienced a small bit of this. And since November, mid of November, we're staying in the marina and we're doing a lot of boat work and so. So I think maybe in May or in June we can say if we like it or not.
Yeah.
So I think that
in a year we are going to
talk again.
And summarize.
Like a recap.
I'm sure you have the best in front of you.
Yes.
Love the season soon.
So
you had a memory. We talked about some experience, didn't we?
We had this one day of sailing which I think summarized sailing life for us quite well,
apart from the crossing of the Bay of Biscay.
True, that was also quite good one. But we had this one day after we went through the Corinth Canal, we had this one day in the Bay of Corinth, or Gulf of Corinth.
Yeah.
And it started as a day with no wind. The ocean was like a
absolutely
mirror.
Calm, yeah.
And we saw dolphins in like from far away. Wow. And we thought, just come closer, come closer. And they didn't come. So we said, we'll just stop the boat now, have a little swim.
In the middle of the Gulf,
and wow. We had a little swim, and then we put the motor back on because there was no wind, and then this massive school of dolphins came, and I think there were about 50 probably.
Yeah, wow. 40, 50 dolphins, yeah, swimming all around the boat and playing with our bow wave and everything. So that was,
and diving underneath our boat. So that was the really high. It was very nice to swim just in the middle of the Gulf, and then having these dolphins traveling with us. So we
for
were
at least 15 minutes. Yeah.
Wow.
I think I cried happy tears. It was so nice. Yeah. And then after that, we were all really hyped and really high up. And then we saw there's some wind coming, and we thought, okay, let's put up the sails.
Mm.
And then there was such strong wind gusts.
Yeah, and it was hitting us hard. We were like,
overwhelmed. I think because of the high probably before.
Yeah.
We weren't really prepared, and it hit us so bad. It was fine, but I think I afterwards was shaking and I had a little panic attack, and afterwards I was just crying.
Oh.
Not happy tears?
No,
definitely not happy tears, yeah. I could tell, yeah.
And then we wanted to anchor and it didn't work because it was a very small spot, and then we had to go to the harbor, and it was very nice at the beginning and such a beautiful day, and it ended with, I don't know.
A nervous breakdown.
Think that's what boat life is I think,
you
for us.
You experience everything within
super
six
highs.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It was
slow.
Yeah, it was absolutely everything within the 6 hours. I was like, wow. Yeah.
In some way, that's part of the charm in this life.
Right.
Of course, you would like to cut the lows a little bit.
Yeah,
keep the highs and cut the lows.
Yes, but I think the lows are kind of need to be there, and it makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
And it's this experience, and you really dare, and you're alive.
Yeah, it puts everything in perspective.
Yes.
You realize you're quite small.
Yes,
in
compared
nature.
To this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, to round this up a bit, I have this question. If you would give three advices to people considering doing this alternative living, what do you think that would be?
I think the first advice I would give is just do it.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it...
Maybe twice?
More than once. If you think about it more than once... Just do it.
Just give it a go.
Yeah, because otherwise you would overthink it, I think, and then you wouldn't do it, or you would say, maybe it's not the right living or the right lifestyle for me. But if you think about it more than once, just give it a try and see how it goes, because you can always go back.
Yeah.
I think that was the first.
Another advice would be probably... prepare for the worst. But we said not hope for the best, but like manifest the best. So in your mind, think about what all the good things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what's the worst thing that can happen as well, but focus on the good things and just be positive and
manifest
the hell out of it.
Because we always try to say, once you manifest it and you live like it's already there and it's already happened, then it will happen.
Yeah.
So
like the fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it, right. Yes.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. And the third one.
Yeah, just don't, yeah, don't worry too much, I think. Just, that goes together with the just do it, maybe. But yeah, as you said, if you think about something too much and it gets in your head, you're probably not going to do it. So if you have an impulse, just trust that impulse and just do it. Don't worry too much. And as
yeah, give it a try.
You said before, at the end, it's probably not the things you did you're not happy about, but you regret the things you never tried and you never did because you maybe were too scared or you didn't find the time. So yeah, just make the time and just everyone can do it. I think people sometimes tell us, oh, you're so lucky you can do this, but we feel like no, everyone can do it. Like, no, we're not special. We're if you really want something, you can find a way.
You don't have to be brave, or you don't have to
be rich,
or lucky, or something else. You can just give it a try.
Find your way.
Very much about making choices.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
To choose something means to letting something else go.
Of course.
Very true. Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing to remember in that.
Yeah.
Because we also get that question: you're lucky to be able to do this, but.
No, we made the
because
choice.
Of things we have done before.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's definitely not only luck.
No.
It's hard work
and
focus.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Choices.
And choices, yes.
Yeah.
And actually, you two also have or had a podcast.
Yes. We still have one.
Yeah, you
but
still
we,
have one.
We just finished our second season.
Yes.
In
October.
October, yeah. Until then, since then, we didn't have any time to continue. But I think we will want to continue in maybe in February or so.
Yes. And it is in German.
Yes,
it's in German.
It's in German.
But German slash Swiss German.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's very hard for Swedish people to understand. I think.
But what does it call? If someone is curious.
It's called Parler.
Parley.
Yes,
parley.
Because parley is the word
pirates.
Is from the pirate language.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If they want to
talk to the captain,
talk to the captain or talk to another ship, they would say the word parley, which means just in
French
just to
talk to
another.
Yeah. Okay.
So two rival parties or two rival pirates could talk to each other. And that's why we thought,
okay,
it's going to
fit well.
Yeah, so it's parley,
yeah.
Okay. Parley,
yeah. Maybe we have some German-speaking.
Yeah,
maybe.
You don't
listeners.
Know. Yeah.
You never know.
And if someone wants to contact you in any way, how do they do that?
I think the best is on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's there. It's very easy. It's Pam X Angie.
Pam X Angie.
Yes, right.
In
all
Instagram.
In one go.
Yeah.
Right.
Then we will find you.
Yes.
Pam
definitely.
X Angie.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Really nice having you on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
It was
really, really good fun. Thank
yes,
you very much.
Really good fun that you would wanted to join.
Yes.
Yes.
Love
to. And fair winds.
Yes.
Yes.
To you too.
And good luck.
Okay. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye. You can reach the dictator with